What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African Americans who have seen success within the sport. We'll bring you news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, as well as informing you on other top European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, I just want to say thank you to all of our friends and supporters. My name's Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Salam, how are you feeling tonight?
Good, man. A great week of football. Soccer. Soccer's back. Mike, yeah. How about you, buddy?
It was a tough one. It was a tough one for us Chelsea fans, but MLS is back, so can't complain.
Yeah, man. As we say it over here in the United States, it's called soccer. And the MLS is back. Just a quick rundown. We will talk about the MLS a little bit today at the top of the show, since we are here from the good old state of Ohio. We got two teams, the FC Cincinnati and the Columbus Crew. So we'll talk about those two teams and the other top games as well. We'll talk about our teams in the Premier League and then end up with our lock of the week, some predictions for next week, and then obviously some shout outs. But to get into the MLS, it was a crazy week, man. We had games all week starting in the MLS, starting with that LAFC versus Minnesota United game. And then even tonight here on Sunday, we had a few games. So to start off, I do want to highlight a few of the games. I think the first one is going to be the Atlanta United versus the Montreal game that ended in 3-2 Atlanta win. I did want to highlight Emmanuel Lath. So, you know, a few weeks ago, we were talking about some of the transfers that had come to the MLS. You know, I posed the question, you know, is the MLS now turning more into a more competitive league? You know, we're seeing a lot more Europeans starting to come over, not just at retirement age, but, you know, in the prime of their career. We were talking about, you know, Cucho Hernandez, who came here from the Prem, who was now gone to play elsewhere. But we're looking at Emmanuel Lath, you know, this guy who scored two goals for Atlanta. He came over from Middlesbrough, who is currently in the Championship, second division over in England. He came and hit the ground running, man. He had a brace in his first match, 3-2 to Atlanta. I don't know if you guys were able to see the match. I didn't see the match. I just saw highlights. But your takeaways from that game, if anything.
Yeah, you forgot his Atlanta's very own, you know, Miguel Almiron. He's also back. Yep. So also back in the league from Newcastle. I think Lath was very impressive. I mean, he jumped off the screen to me watching the MLS this week. Like I was saying earlier before we started recording, he was the one of the players this weekend. I saw that. I was, you know, interested in seeing how the season goes for him. So I think Atlanta might be back, man. Atlanta's been able to do a very good job maintaining. They might be back again challenging because they weren't far off last season. So we'll see what happens with Atlanta.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see what Atlanta looked like coming out at home. Their first game, like you said, Mike, Latte, man. He was just, you could just tell every time that he got on the ball, it was just he was going to make something happen. Like you said, you know, like he looked a little different than everybody else. And I think that, you know, he obviously showed what he could do. Almiron coming back is going to help them. And honestly, you know, as fans of teams in Ohio, like, you know, the Eastern Conference is going to be a really tough,
it's going to be tough.
You know, it's going to be tough for everybody in the Eastern Conference this year. Yeah. So buckle up. Atlanta's back, definitely. and honestly, he's my pick to be Golden Boot.
Really?
Yeah, bro. I just don't see. My other pick is, well, I'll get to him here in a second. But no, I just think that, especially with Almiron being there, they were a decent team last year. They had injuries, but they didn't have that. They didn't have this guy, and they didn't have Almiron. So with what's already like a pretty solid foundation, I think that he's going to find a lot of success this year. So, yeah, shout out to him, man.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, shout out to Michael Adetokun, man. I was,
yes, sir.
You know, looking forward to seeing him. You know, I was hoping he would play, but we didn't get to see him. But I'm sure we'll see him this season.
Yeah. And shout out to Montreal, man. They looked they look good as well too.
They had the big German striker.
Yeah,
he could be a problem too.
They looked very well. They looked very good, especially, you know, compared to what they looked like last season. So they still got players to come back and help the team. So shout out to Montreal and shout out to Michael Adetokun, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out Mike Adetokun. Hope to see you, if not playing, at least on the bench. It was, you know, we're looking to see that name get called out, bro. Yeah. So
100.
So all best wishes to you. Moving on, the Columbus Crew defeated Chicago Fire 4-2. Crew going to be interesting this year. Like I said earlier, we lost Cucho, which I think is a huge blow to the team, considering that, you know, he's been the main goal scorer here for the last 2-3 seasons, you know, especially with Rayan gone over the last year. It was, you know, we knew where the goals were coming from. Now it's a newer team, but you know, they're showing that they could get it done. There was the brace from Rossi and then Russell Rowe up top starting the goals off for the Columbus Crew. How do you feel about the team, Mike, being our resident?
I mean, losing Christian Ramirez and Cucho Hernandez, you know, they were huge for us last season. So, like we were saying, you know, we were talking about before the episode started. To me, I think our best quality in this team is the fact that, you know, most of the core have been there together. We have a very good manager. So that is our advantage. Looking at Russell for, you know, our goals this season would be interesting. But we still have Rossi. Rossi, you know, is a seasoned vet. We still have Nagby. Nagby's still with us. We have a very good keeper at the back. So I think we have a pretty good core. But we'll see what happens, man. The spine of the team is solid. But we still have pieces that I think we're going to find out about if Russell is the real deal. Because, you know, he kind of broke onto the scene. Last season, he got a lot of playing time, scored a lot of big goals. So we'll see what happens, man. But I still think we're the best team in Ohio, man. We're still the best team in Ohio. Until Cincinnati does anything, we're still the top dogs in Ohio.
Nah, I don't know. I'll say this about Columbus. Going into the season, I think I said it before the game started, like, I'm very curious to see where goals comes from this year. I think that you guys did a good job in punishing Chicago Fire for their mistakes. I mean, they were up. I think, were they up 2-0 or were they? Was it? No, it was one. It was 1-1. But, and shout out to Bamba over there, Chicago Fire. Yo, you talk about another newcomer who's already made an impact. Like, you know, the attack's gonna go through him. So he looked really good. And his, I think he came from Celta de Vigo. So, yeah, he's going to be exciting. But, yeah, man, I mean, but I will say this about the Crew. I think, you know, with all that uncertainty with, you know, the departure of Cucho, for you guys to score 3 goals in the first half, you know, take the lead back right before halftime and then ultimately get the fourth goal in the second half, was huge for you guys. It shows, like, how, you know, you guys are still a very seasoned team. So, you know, you have the experience to kind of get you out in moments like this and ultimately, you know, carry you through throughout the season. So Columbus will be interesting to watch this year. Definitely.
Yeah, I think they have they got a lot to prove for sure. This team is they're champions at the end of the day, so they're going to want to run it back even without Cucho and Ramirez. But I know Salam has something to say about the other team in Ohio, FC Cincinnati, with a good 1-0 win to start off the year. You know, against the New York Red Bulls, who is a good team here. You know, we were talking about the Red Bulls before. I didn't even realize that they have Emil Forsberg, Swedish international. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Long time there at Leipzig, and then Eric Choupo-Moting, who also another big, big Cameroonian. Shout out our African. He's played all over Europe.
Namely, only the big clubs. Only the big clubs.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, somehow only at the big, most recently Bayern Munich and PSG. But even with all that European influence, FC Cincinnati was able to get it done. Salam, how you feel about your team this year?
Oh, I feel really good, man. I think definitely, you know, the Cincinnati game was the game that I watched the most of on Saturday night. I was kind of, you know, going through all the games that kicked off at that time. But Cincinnati, to me, man, we looked new and improved. You know, just like you know, Columbus, you know, we've had a big name leave. Acosta left us, you know, our talisman, our captain. So losing him definitely was, you know, obviously going to be a loss for us. But no, I think that we look like we look very complete. And I really liked what I saw coming off the bench. I think, hey, Kevin Denke. Yeah. Let me tell you about Kevin Denke. Kevin Denke, if it's not Emmanuel Letty, will be the Golden Boot winner this year. 100%. I feel like perfect combination of power, pace, IQ. You saw it in the goal that he scored.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. I'm really, really, really a fan of what I saw in him. And then obviously, you know, Evander coming in too, one of the best playmakers in MLS. No disrespect to Portland, but the team that he was playing with there is not the team that he's playing with here. This is a much improved team. We have everything else covered to where he can just focus on, you know, linking up with Denke and, you know, making things happen in the attacking third. So I'm really happy to see what I saw from them. Who knows? He could be on the short list of players for MVP this season too. Evander. So Evander could be the short list of MVP, and I think Denke to me is definitely going to be top three in Golden Boot, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
He had opportunities to score to make it more than just one goal. My last shout out of this game, I wanted to shout out Pavel Buka from the Czech Republic. I think he came from Millwall. That guy is really good. That guy is really good. Him and Wodebo in the midfield, big fan of them. So, I was gonna say, and then you know, we have you know, Roman Celentano, the best keeper in the league, in the back.
Stop
it. Shout out, Micah.
Stop it. But I was gonna say this. Thank you was definitely, apart from Lati Lath, I think he was another one that jumped off the screen to me because you know, I remember when you signed him, I've really never watched him play. Until I saw him, you know, with you guys, and we might have something in the prem.
Yeah, you never know.
I will be surprised if, like you said, he's not in the running. I will be very surprised.
For sure.
And I wanted to ask you guys about this, man. What's up with Yedlin?
What? He missed.
Yeah, he missed one that I feel like he could have done better on, but another talent that I thought should still be playing in Europe. I really thought Yedlin was going to be one of those guys that had a long career in Europe. So, yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing in the MLS. You're still playing professionally. He's still doing what he loves. But the talent we saw coming in at a very young age, you would have thought, you know, this guy's career would be in Europe, you know, pretty much his whole career, but it is what it is. It was good to see him, man. I completely forgot you guys got him. So yeah. it was good to see him. It was good to see him. Still a good player, in my opinion.
100%. Yeah, he was big for us last year too. So hopefully he can just stay healthy, but you know, that's really it with him. But yeah, I think he's we got a really experienced team, man. Miles Robinson too, man. Shout out Miles Robinson. When you look around, like you know, in the back and in the back line in the midfield, up top, like we have things covered. So like,
is this the year?
Hey, it has to be. I mean, we'll see. It's only game one. But yeah. I really liked what I saw from, you know, those two, Evander and Denki.
I hear you, yeah. And I just to piggyback on what you said, Salam, I think the, you know, the injuries eventually caught up with Yedlin. You know, I agree, Mike, coming out of college, you know, coming into the league, into his professional career, you know, the talent was immense, but I think injuries ultimately plagued him.
Where was he in the Prem? He was in the Prem, right? Newcastle?
He played somewhere else.
I think he's somewhere on loan, like when he was getting back from injury, maybe in the championship. I have to look it up.
Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna look at it.
But yeah, I mean,
go ahead, sir.
I was just saying, I think it's just the injuries, but the talent's still there. You know, he's still gonna be able to compete at a very high level and give you elite play. You know, he still has speed, even though it's not what it used to be, but he's still one of the pacier players on the pitch.
Oh wow, he played at, so yeah, he got drafted by Seattle. He went to Tottenham.
Tottenham. Yeah. No, did he play at Tottenham though?
Not really. He made one appearance. Yeah, and then he went on Sunderland. Sunderland.
Yeah, he played his Sunderland. That's what I remember.
112 appearances for Newcastle. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah, no.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's pretty.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It's like three, four seasons, you know, like.
Then he went to Galatasaray. I completely forgot he went to Galatasaray.
I didn't even know he went there.
And then Inter Miami and FC Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully he found a home here, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean,
come on the pod, DeAndre.
Yeah, no. Hey, we love Miami, man. We'd love to talk to you.
Inter Miami.
I remember you playing at Akron. Like I was old enough to remember.
Man, Ohio boy, man. Come on.
Yeah, Ohio boy. You know for sure.
We adopted you, man.
Nah, but yeah. Inter Miami, man. Probably for me, game of the week.
Really?
Yeah, I mean it very interesting game, actually.
It was.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, though.
Their manager is Mascherano. The Barcelona bros are linking up. That team is very interesting, man. It's still not where I think it could be. But
yeah,
I think we shouldn't take, you know, watching Messi week in, week out for granted, because, you know, another, you know, pretty decent performance from him. And
I mean, two assists.
Yeah, man. I have to shout out NYFC, though.
Yeah.
Very good performance. Man, that free kick, to me, was one of the best goals I saw this weekend. I'm not even going to lie. Very well put together free kick. You could tell it was straight off the practice field. It fooled everyone. It fooled the cameras. It fooled me. Really good free kick. So shout out to NYCFC, man.
No, I would say, I mean, obviously the red card was warranted, but I mean, for it to go to the last minute the way it did, like you said, Mike, hell of a goal. You know, Messi has to be like the odds-on favorite to probably win MVP, but I think they're just going to be a fun team to watch all season. And honestly, I think, to Mike's point, like, I don't think that I think that they'll make one more addition in the summer, right? Because, you know, they're always able to kind of make these transfers when the European league stops. That's like when Giroud and them all came. But I feel like they're gonna get one more piece. You know what I'm saying? When does the Brazilian league end? Is that like, do they follow the same calendar? Because I swear the Brazilian league.
Sorry, I would say they end earlier though.
Yeah, I think they started not too long ago. I might be right. They just started a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, because Memphis is wearing number 10 now. He was
Neymar scored today.
off the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, shout out. Let's save him for shout outs, man.
Bro, that was
I'm just like, damn, bro. How You're at Santos now. Okay, let's just finish up with the MLS. But yeah,
yeah. No, I was gonna say the last two games I have with the MLS are the games today. We could just do a quick hitter. But I wanted to touch on, you know, the Portland Timbers lost 4-1 to Vancouver Whitecaps. Vancouver looked good, man. I was watching a little bit of the game before, you know, today, and I mean the goals were coming from everywhere. They scored in multiple ways, and then San Diego expansion team. Beating the LA Galaxy, our current champions, 2-0. San Diego also looks like they're going to be all right. You know, their last goal came on a very, very good counter, like an extremely good counter. So it's just interesting to see these two games today and kind of how they turned out. But any word from y'all on either of those four teams, Vancouver or San Diego Galaxy?
I'll say for San Diego, I think, you know, there's a bright spot for them. They have a very good player in Irvin Lozano. So another, you know, good player, great player added to the league. So that alone will make them interesting to watch. So even the performance today, they did not look like an expansion team.
Yeah.
At least from what I saw, they look pretty good. So the Galaxy always... They're so confused.
Yeah, you know,
they just don't look like they're interested. Yeah. And then the end of the year comes around and they're there. So I don't want to look too much into this, for at least on the Galaxy end of things. But for San Diego, I think this is a good start for them.
Yeah, for me, the Portland and the Vancouver game, I don't know, man. Portland's going to be an interesting team to watch this year. They didn't really replace Evander. So now I'm kind of like, well, he's one of the best players in the league to me, but you know, to not replace his production, you know, that kind of puts you in a tough spot. So I'm curious to see how Portland does this year. As far as Vancouver though, shout out Jaden Nelson, 3 assists, 1 goal. You talk about pace. Yeah, he looked incredible, man. So yeah, shout out to him. He's from Canada as well too. So, you know, he's young. He's only 22 years old. So, yeah, man, they look like they got a good thing going. And yeah, great first week of games from the MLS. Honestly, we were talking about it before. I was really, you know, really pleased with what I saw. I thought it was a great product. I thought all the games were good. They were exciting, you know, and every game, when you look at I'm looking at every lineup here, every matchup, and I'm like, there's some good players on in each of these games.
Yeah.
You know, like every game. So yeah, it's going to be a fun MLS season, man. We're definitely going to be tapped in.
All right. Yeah, man, it's going to be a very, very fun season. And it's great that it's just starting now. You know, as we're getting into the nitty gritty about our European teams, you know, we can start to ease into the MLS season, take a little bit of stress off of us as we move to the teams who are just getting into the swing of things. But moving back to Europe, man, we had a very, very interesting week. Some ups, some downs, some sideways, some upside downs. No one on this podcast really has anything to smile about too much. You know, as tradition goes, usually the losers will go ahead and go first. But before we get into our teams, we got to talk about the game of the week. We got to talk about Liverpool. We got to talk about City. We got to talk about, is the title race over? We got to talk about how Arne Slot has come in and just slotted himself into this Liverpool team. It seems as if everything is just as it's always been, I guess. Yeah. But I don't know. City 2-0 lost this weekend to Liverpool. Honestly, what can we say, man? I hope I still have this post up.
Yeah, I mean, were you guys really surprised
though? I wasn't surprised when I saw no Erling Haaland again. We know that he's been that he wasn't gonna play.
That was a difference maker.
I kind of figured the goals were going to be hard to come by. Like I said last week, this isn't the game I'm going to judge Marmoush off of. You know, like I'm not judging him off of these matches when Haaland isn't there. He's not able to play at his best. But I do expect to see him do a little bit since he's so
be well visible. Back, be visible. You
know? Yeah. But at the end of the day, this Liverpool team, they know what they're here to do, you know. And Salah, he's been Salah's just on a tear right
this
now.
Year. Yeah,
you know, there was hopefully I could find the post. I'll let you guys talk about it, but there was a post showing all of the records that Salah broke just last, you know, just during this game, and it's like. He's currently sitting at 41 GA, you know, after 26 matches. It's kind of getting ridiculous. You know, this is one of the stats I will remember is the goal involvements that Salah has this year is equivalent to what Messi had, I think, in like, you know, one of his Ballon d'Or winning seasons with Barcelona. So it's one of those type seasons for Salah. It's one of those type seasons for Liverpool. City, obviously the team that's won the league these last 3-4 years is not the same team. So, you know, with Arsenal's loss, and we'll get into that to that a little bit later, is the league over? Is this team going? Is this Liverpool team going to wrap it up by March? April? What are we saying?
Over. It is absolutely over. And the crazy thing is I don't know about you guys, right? But when I saw Curtis Jones' goal go in, and yeah, it was disallowed, right? It was offsides, and he celebrated, and they were showing him. I was like, wow, this is one of those games where I'm gonna look back and be like, damn, this was the game where Liverpool like they broke City. Like they broke it. Like I'll let you guys talk about Liverpool, but for me, one of the biggest things was like I wasn't surprised. I guess like of how the result went, I was more surprised on how, I guess, bad Man City looked in the sense of like, this is really a changing of the guard here. This is a changing of an era here. You know, this was literally you know what we watched for the past 7 to 8 years.
Yeah, almost a decade.
All that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Think about that. From Sterling to Sané to Aguero to Jesus. Where we are now to Jesus to, you know what I'm saying? All these guys to everybody. Foden even had a spell. De Bruyne. I mean, he was a clear. He was a clear. What? Yeah, but.
It's not too hard.
No. He's not help. Listen. He's not physically like where he was. I get that.
No.
And for me, it's not so much of like, oh, De Bruyne, you're not what you used to be. It's just more of like, this is you're like almost like a direct representation of like the team. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like in the sense of like, you know, it's just we need new faces in here. We need younger faces. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of sad, you know, especially as fans of football. It's like kind of like damn, like this is over, but
yeah,
no, this was one of those statement games where I felt like, oh wow, City's broken. I don't know how they're gonna come back to this. Think about it. This happens to you, you crash out of the Champions League. What a week! What a week!
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I agree. Now it's here we are talking about we gotta win FA Cup, and I don't know, man.
I don't think they're even in the FA Cup. I think
the FA Cup. They don't have anything, right?
Yeah, I don't think they're in the FA Cup. But I was watching the game, and like you said, this felt like City was just broken. This was like almost the straw that broke the camel's back. The game that really changed everything, right?
Yeah.
I want to ask you guys this. Do you think in the last couple of, I would say last three windows, we can look back and say that Pep has made some very, you know, questionable decisions. It starts from Cancelo, letting Cancelo walk, which was wild to us, but, you know, they had a replacement, so they were fine. Who did we see? Alvarez walk. We saw Alvarez walk. We're not even going to talk about Cole Palmer, because that Cole Palmer thing is, nobody could have predicted that. So we're not even going to talk about that one. And then we see Kyle Walker walk this season. I mean, Rodri injury was clearly a big one for them. You let Sterling go, you let Jesus go, you let Mahrez go.
Alvarez,
how many of these guys were truly replaced? I mean, you brought in Doku. Has Doku really given you anything? Not really. I think the only transfer you've made recently that I can look back and be like, okay, there might be something with this one is Marmoush. And that was just a couple of months ago. Actually, a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you're right.
So, like, we're looking at this team, and do you think, did he get a little bit too cocky for himself? Because some of the guys you let walk, to me, it felt a little bit premature. It felt a little too confident to let them walk. And they've done a good job at replacing guys and buying the exact profile Pep needs. But still, I mean, I can't look at I was watching this team and I'm like, to be honest, Pep has some blame in this, because I feel like you've gotten a lot of these recent transfers very wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's also wasted a few too, like Calvin Phillips, like that was a waste of a transfer, but
exactly.
I think I think he invested in the spots that weren't the core of the team, because at the time the core of the team was still maintaining a certain level. But now I think it just so happens that all your main guys, the guys that you were relying on, they all kind of got old at the same time. Like that, you know, like it's almost like, you know, we saw that tweet sometime this past week, right? It's like Ederson, Kyle Walker. It's like the whole guard.
John Stone, Silver, and Otto KDB. Silver, KDB,
mm-hmm. Even Kovacic. And I'm like, wow. Yeah, him too? It. I'm like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I just think that all of them kind of plateaued all at the same time. But, you know, and I thought that he thought, you know, he could kind of get away with just, you know, adding around it. But, you know, in hindsight, 2020, but you should have actually been investing in, you know, replacing these guys slowly.
Also, there are some guys that I think, a guy like Foden, he's getting away with robbery. He's getting away with murder, to be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, this guy won PFP player of the year last season.
Yeah.
I mean, where is Foden? Where is Phil Foden? Where is the accountability? Where is the production?
Yeah.
It almost seems like, you know, we're just not talking about it. Like, everybody's forgotten Phil Foden plays for City. Everybody's playing. He's like one of the big players for City.
Yeah.
Where is Phil Foden? And it's like, I'm surprised there's no media talk at all about where is Phil Foden. Somehow y'all gave him PFA Player of the Year last season. Yeah. Deservingly, I don't think so. I still don't believe he deserved it, but he got it. So I think if we're going to put him in that position, I think he deserves to answer some questions. Like, what is going on? Bernardo, I can kind of say that he's been really wanting to move. So, you know, it's one of those things that I just feel like he's just kind of checked out. Bernardo doesn't even look like Bernardo. Like, it's crazy, bro.
Yeah,
we talked about it at the beginning of the season that this team looks different. Yeah. But I'm even going to admit, I didn't think it would look like this. I didn't think it would just look blah, just nothing. Thing jumps off the screen, scares me about City. Is just, I think the bright side right now for City is Marmoush, and
that's it.
Just, bro, give him the run of games. You have to empower this guy because there's something there. There's something there. So,
build around him. Yeah, but it's like, you know, I feel like this window they try to address it, but it's kind of like, it's a little too late. You try to get it with the left back you signed, the center back you signed, they signed Marmoush, and it's like you brought in Gonzalez, and it's like, I don't know. I'm looking at it just like, I mean, now Haaland's hurt too. So
yeah
man, cool. It's but I mean, Pep's gonna stay and they're gonna keep going. So
you know, I feel like it's one of those things that Pep is almost staying just to kind of like, the ego in him won't let it slide, you know, this season slide. You know, it was supposed to be the last season. He re-signed. He said he's going to come back. He's going to do it. But I think it's an ego thing. It's one of those things. I just think your era is up, man. It happens. You had a great run. Just let it go. You know what I'm saying?
I'm curious to see how he like rebuilds, because he usually doesn't rebuild. Like, once it's done, he just kind of leaves. But
exactly.
Let me ask you guys this. What up, G? Let me ask you guys this. Mohamed Salah is a top blank player in the Premier League ever.
He's a top five player for me right now, because I've been telling you on the pod, man, I really appreciate Salah for some weird reason this season. Because I have this weird thing. I feel like this probably might be the last time we're watching him in the Prem. And you can't deny greatness, man. It gets to a point where the silly banter is just, it's just, you got to let it go, you know, and give the flowers when they're there to actually, you know, receive the flowers and not after they're gone. He's a top five player, man. For how much we all banter Liverpool, I think he's a top five player.
I mean, see, these are the talks where
this is what up, you yo? Came what's into. Up, what's up, what's up, this man? Is what this is what's up, bro. This is what you came into.
these are the talks that I just think are better suited once the time is wrapped up. That's I feel like, yeah, so I mean, it's pretty obvious. Salah's having an amazing season. I mean, they showed a stat today. He has like 12 matches left, and he has 12 matches left, and he's, I think, six GAs off pace of beating like the most goals and assists in a Premier League season ever. You know, which is crazy. I mean, it's Alan Shearer's record. That's I forgot who the other guy up there was. Was it Andy Cole? I could be wrong. But, you know, Alan Shearer's record, another guy share it. It was 47 GA. He's on 41 right now with 12 matches to go, which is insane. So, you know, it's easy now to say, like, easily, you know, this guy is top five in the Prem ever. It's on the third. But I just think that so much recency bias goes into so many of these things, like,
it's fair.
I know I just walked into this. I just don't want to I don't want to just like go
that's fair. Yeah, no, that's top fair. Five,
right? Like I need to I want to no, I want to look at his resume. And it was funny. I mean, they I just speaking about it now when during the broadcast they brought it up, like, where'd you put Salah? And like on the show they said, like, if I had a starting my Premier League all-time starting 11, I don't know if he makes the starting 11, but he makes the squad for sure. I have to go and do a deep dive and put resume by resume and then go, all right, he deserves to be our right winger.
This sounds like an episode, a podcast episode.
Yeah, but I can't just be like, oh, he's definitively in my, like, I have to go through and there have been greats, bro, that have gone through that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have the time to just sit here and dissect all of it, but it's like, I understand the recency bias. I understand he's going and having a great everything, but in my all-time Premier League side, for sure, he's in my squad. He makes the 18. He for sure.
Can I ask you this? Do y'all think he'll go down as the best Liverpool player?
No. He's black. No.
I don't like this.
I hate to say it, but like.
Yeah. We know what they're going to say, but I'm going to say it down.
Honestly, bro, I think they will once the dust settles. I don't think it'll be an instant, because before Gabriel came in, I was going to say something similar to what Gabriel said, but I say if you're gonna force a gun to my head and make me choose today, he's top five strikers all time, and he's top 10 players to me, and that might be hard to say right now. Mm-hmm. I might be just shooting that from the hip, but he's, as far as strikers, he's gonna be top five just for me because of what
He's not a striker; he's a winger.
And that's where it gets sticky, because when he came in, he was a winger. Exactly. Then he got moved to striker. So let's just keep it where Gabriel said. Let's just wait till it's all said and done. But as far as Salah, bro, I'm with Mike, man. It's tough to say that he's already that great when his career isn't over, but when you look at what he's done, the consistency, it's kind of like what we were saying last week about this world-class ranking. Mm-hmm. Salah, since he's been in the Premier League, has upheld a standard. when he first started, it was okay, he can only score goals. Okay, he's one dimensional. Okay. And then he added everything to his game to where right now he has 41 GA, 26 matches in. That's insane. So for me, it's like if you look at where he started just as a goal scorer to where he is now as a player, I don't know, man. And yeah, it's tough to not put him up there with the greats, you know, with the TTs and with, you know, the Shearers and with a lot of these guys that we say are the best strikers, are the best in the Prem that have ever done it. I mean, you look at Kane, and we were calling Kane one of the greatest strikers with no trophies. But we're not ready to put Salah up there as one of the greatest, even though we've seen what he's done. So for me, I don't want to say he's the best or he's definitively this, but for me, he's definitely one of the greatest attacking players we've seen. For sure.
I want to get one thing straight, though. He is definitely the best Liverpool player.
I was going to say he 100%.
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask you guys.
But they will Liverpool fans come and say that though? I don't think so.
They can say this whole, oh, Steven Gerrard. I know, I'm just saying. Steven Gerrard. Let me tell you something. Steven Gerrard ain't giving you what Mohamed Salah has been giving you. How long has he been here? When did he go? 2017. This has been 7 years of
terror.
25. Terror. 25, Gabriel. Yeah. Goals.
No, you're right. I'm not.
You know, this isn't.
I'm
possibly two Prems.
That's what I'm saying. Prem, you know, Champions League. I mean, Stevie G got the Champions League too. No, yeah, but I mean, at the end
of
the
day, FA Cups, man.
Yeah, he ain't got no Carabao Cup. Yo, Steven Gerrard ain't never won an AFCON, man. He ain't never won an AFCON. I don't want to hear it, man. Oh my god.
You know what I'm saying? Nah, but Salah might be, man. He might be.
Yeah, but just to end this, you know, this Liverpool segment, this Liverpool City segment, the so far this season, Mohamed Salah, 11 matches with a goal and assist. Most assists ever in a Premier League season for a Liverpool player. 16 currently. Last guy to hold that record was Steve McManaman at 15. Wow. First player in EPL history to register two seasons with 40-plus goal involvement. 16 away goals so far this season. That's the most in an EPL season.
Hold on, Cornelius. What was the one that you said before this one?
40 goal involvements.
No,
First time players ever had 40-plus goal involvements.
He's the first.
Okay. The first time he did it was the 17-18 season. I believe that's when they won the Champions League. And then the 24-25 season, which is this current season.
He's the first. Okay.
Again, the 16 away goals is a record. It was currently held by Harry Kane in 22-23 season and then Kevin Phillips in the 1999 and 2000 season. 49 separate league matches with a goal and assist. Most goals and assists versus Pep. And that's just, you know, another. But, man, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's crazy. Break it
down just for this one season, what he's done with the team. Then you look over the last since 2017. And then when we look at it, and we've been talking about Pep's dominance and how there really hasn't been another team but Liverpool. You know, like, I don't know. I don't want to call him the best, but bro, he's up there with the greats. He's first ballot all time. He's first ballot Hall of Fame. Once this is done,
Ballon d'Or might be around the corner.
You know,
Ballon d'Or might be around the corner. We're gonna be able to call him a lot of things this year. Ballon d'Or is one of them, and free agent is the other. I think it's absolutely crazy that he's going to go into free agency. But that's Liverpool, though. Just American owners, bro. You literally are seeing this, right? We don't need him.
They have a five-year plan. They have a five-year plan. Don't worry.
Gabriel, at this point, this is year five. I think. When did Omar say that? Omar said that in 2020.
This is 5 years ago. This is their 5 year plan, man.
Yeah.
No.
This is it. So. Yeah, man. Shout out to him, bro.
They got two Prems out of the 5 year Prem in the Champions League. That's not bad.
Shout out to Mar.
Carabao's.
Shout out to Mar, man.
But yeah,
man, that was funny.
Let's get into our teams, man. There really isn't much joy to talk about our teams, but we got to do it anyway. Arsenal. Let's begin with, you know, Gabriel. You came on the show right at the perfect time, fam. Rolling out the red carpet for you. Red cards. Yeah,
I actually gotta go. So.
Yeah. Rolling out the red carpet.
You know who should go? You guys should go first.
Yeah.
No, let him go first.
Let's go first. No. You already said Arsenal. We're gonna go first.
It's already Arsenal. We're rolling out the red carpet for the red Gunners with the red cards. You know, and this one, I mean, I think it was still a little harsh to Lewis Skelly, but 1-0 loss to West Ham at home at the Emirates. I asked the boys this earlier, Gabriel, but I'll ask you. Is the title race over? Is Liverpool?
No, it's not over, bro. Please, let's stop. Let's stop with this. I know. Let's stop with the nonsense. Let's stop with the stupidity. Let's stop.
I said it's
reactionary. Stop with the reactionary things. Let's stop.
Gabriel, I just want to say this is the first time you've heard the Undertaker song. Sound.
I know. Yeah, let's please stop. Yes, they're up 11 points with what? They have 12 matches to go. They have 11 matches to go. Cool. If we win our next match, the gap goes right back to 8. Cool. Yes, we missed a massive opportunity this weekend, like we have on many other weekends. This is not the first weekend where Liverpool has dropped points and we have failed to get points or get 3 points and capitalize on those weekends. So, it's unfortunate. We played, I can use a lot of words to describe how we played, but I mean, I can say lethargic, I can say piss poor. It's just the standard was not there whatsoever. It's just make it quite simple. The standard just wasn't there. But to answer the question about title races, like, do people not know we still have 12 matches to go, bro? Like, that's the part that's blowing me. Like, that's where things become so reactionary to me. It's like we talk about title races and this and that and woo woo, bro. How many times for the past 3 seasons have we not seen teams blow it? For the past 4 seasons, have we not seen teams blow it? Have we not seen teams blow it so many times? Right. So yes, the team has. And we're forgetting to admit as well, Liverpool was also top of the table at this same time last year. So it's okay, cool. They're at the top of the table. Yes, they're up 11 points, 100%. That's fine. Cool. But is the race over? No. Did this significantly drop our chances of winning the title? Absolutely. Every time that we don't get points and they get points when they already have a lead, absolutely. Yes, it gets much, much harder on top of not having our key players that we need, for sure. But is it over? No. Like, how is the season over with 12 matches to go? Have they statistically won? No. Do they still have to come and play us? Yes. Do they still have to go play Newcastle next week, another tough match? Yes. Like, do they still not have matches to go play? Yes. So why would I sit here and say, oh, it's just over? Like, no, it's not over. I'm kind of over the, like, the when it comes down to 5 matches and they have 11 point lead, then I'll sit here and be like, yeah, we're cooked. We're probably done for. Unless they end up losing 2 matches, we win the next 2 matches, we beat them, and they lose another 2. Like, unless that happens, yeah, we're probably cooked. But with 12 matches to go, with still a lot of key matchups to go, no, I'm not saying it's over. Yes, it's looking slim for sure. But is it over? Absolutely not. So all the notions of that, I just want to dead that right now. Yes, we're still in a title race. I don't know what else to say for any of you guys, but yes, we're in a title race. We can dead those questions, and that should answer whatever title race questions that you have right now. As far as my team, everyone played piss poor. Everyone played badly. I didn't see not really one good performance from anyone. I mean, I can go and say, you know, Nwaneri played decently, but for me, it's like the goal that we gave up is so bad on so many different fronts, collectively as a team, collectively as individual players. I just feel like the badge wasn't upheld. I feel like you didn't realize what you're playing for at this moment. And oh, because we got a couple good results against this team in the past, a couple blowout wins, that it was just going to be a little cakewalk. And I mean, to get scored on like that, it's just so bad. And we really didn't have much going forward, if I'm being honest. You know, it's, you can tell we don't have a striker. We don't have our starting guys out there. There's not much we can create. We have five midfielders on the pitch. Like, I know injuries are a part of the match for the game for everyone. I'm not trying to sit here and just say, oh, like, I'm just going to blame everything on injuries. And that's like, no, we had chances to win this game. We had chances to dead them. We had chances to deny them goals 100%. But also, it's tough when we're not creating things and we're also not finishing chances as well. So, you know, really disappointing performance all in all. Disappointing from everyone. And we have a tough one this week. I mean, there's nothing we can do outside of just continue to get points and try to close the gap. We already know we're behind a lot of points, so we have to do everything we can to scrape and grab every single point that we possibly can, and at this point hope that Liverpool drops points. We've seen that they're capable of dropping points. They dropped points to Everton last week. So they're capable of dropping points. They're capable of, you know, doing these things. We just have to continue to do our part. But are we going to continue to do our part after today's performance? I mean, I don't know. And if this gap gets to 14 or 17 points, then we're definitely cooked. But are we done right now? No.
Yeah, can I say so?
Go ahead, man, because you're sitting here fucking capping it up, laughing it up like something is funny. Go ahead.
Gabriel, you know, like I like your optimism. Like
kudos to you, man.
For 26 weeks, you haven't caught them. You're not catching them in 12 weeks. I'm sorry. I would be a little bit more optimistic if Bukayo Saka was coming. He was just around the corner. If you had maybe a striker that was healthy, if Odegaard was actually who everybody thinks he is, if all these things were true, then I'll give you a chance. I don't think you have a chance. This is a Liverpool team that's been good all season. You've watched them for 26 weeks. You've seen how good they are. They're not dropping points conveniently for Arsenal to just win the league in the next 12 weeks. It's not happening. I think when you realize that, deal with that reality, I think you won't be disappointed at the end of the season.
But they still play them. That's the true fact. But they still play them head to head.
But this is the stupid thing that people talk about, though. It's like, okay, we're down 11 points, yes. You're acting like they cannot drop points. Like, oh, it's unrealistic for a team to drop points.
Yeah, but they just dropped points last week.
What did y'all do, though?
Oh, Mike, am I talking about me right now? No, I'm saying this team can drop points. Are we going to capitalize on them dropping points? Have we? Absolutely not. If we did, the gap would be much closer right now. But
exactly. You're acting like, as you if in 12 weeks,
so this one match decided the whole season.
No, I mean, they drew Everton.
What are we talking about, Mike?
Who do they draw midweek? Villa.
So it's like, oh, this one match is supposed to just determine the whole season now. So if Liverpool go and drop 6 points in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks, then it's not going to be a race again. We'll be right back at the pod. If Liverpool lose against Newcastle and draw another match and we pick up points in those 2 weeks and the gap closes a little bit and then we win our game in hand, then what happens? We'll be right back on this podcast in March saying, the title race isn't over. Oh, Liverpool, you know, they're looking shaky and they play. So, no, I'm not going to sit here and be redactionary to every single thing, bro. Like, I'm tired of sitting here and arguing with guys who haven't been in any type of these positions for years. They don't even know what it's like to be in this position for years. So it's like, come on, bro. Like, you haven't been in this situation. You've been looking outside and haven't been in this situation for years. And I even know that Liverpool were in this same position last year. Where'd they end up? They were 2 years ago. They're in the same position. Not 2 years ago, but last year in the same position. 2 years ago, they're also in a prominent position. Where'd they end up? So while you say all these things, and yes, these things may be true. Yes, I've watched them for 27 weeks. Yes, they've looked great for 27 weeks. They've only lost one match. Defensively, they're very sound. Salah's having the season of his life, and also offensively, they're pretty sound. Yes, am I going to sit here and not be realistic and be like, oh, this team doesn't look like they're going to miss a beat? Yeah, they don't look like they're going to miss a beat, but can they? Obviously, they're touchable. Everyone in the league is touchable. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, it's over. All right, if you want to go and say that, But in 4 weeks, if they drop points or whatever the case may be, and come May, if we're within 6 points, 7 points of them, and we have a game against them, we'll be right back here saying, oh, are you guys in the title race? Oh, I don't think we could go, and we might not be, but there's still a possibility. So how would I say that we're out when there's still a possibility?
So let me say this.
Where I'm at.
Let me say this. So since their Plymouth game, right? Everton they drew, Liverpool they won, Aston Villa they drew, they won today. They beat Man City. This is where it kind of gets a little sticky for Liverpool, though. Right? So they play Newcastle on Wednesday, and then they have Champions League. Then they're back into the league. They have Champions League, and then they have the Carabao Cup final. That's a lot of games in a matter of just March. I mean, March from March 5th to March 16th, you're in it. So you don't think in any of those games they'll slip up?
No.
I think they draw points versus Newcastle.
But I don't think this idea that, oh, they're going to draw points and Arsenal will just be right there to just grip it up. No, we haven't seen that all season. So where is this idea coming from that, oh, they're going to drop points and we'll be right there?
Yeah,
they dropped points this weekend. That. You were at home with the 16th place West Ham, and you didn't take no business. So when I'm doubting that in 12 weeks you do that, I have a valid point. This was your chance to make it five. You didn't. What makes you think in the next 12 weeks it'll just be conveniently there for you every single time?
You're looking at this completely wrong. I'm looking at the last six weeks.
You don't have a striker.
Great, Mike.
You don't have a striker. Neither do I.
We keep going back and forth on the same issues, but we'll just end it there. But like Gabriel said, there are
12 weeks. Come on, y'all.
Like Gabriel said, they got 12.
I'll see you in 12 weeks.
I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's over. I think you should have a realistic view of things.
You act like I'm sitting here unrealistic. You act like I'm. Oh, so Liverpool can't drop points. Like, we didn't just see them drop points for the past 2 weeks. Liverpool can drop points. Stop acting like Liverpool's untouchable. Like, you're blowing Liverpool. Like, bro, they're not untouchable.
You're glazing, Mike.
All I'm talking about is, are we going to be able to keep pace? Maybe, maybe not. But Liverpool can drop points. That's the only notion I'm going to say.
Perfect sound.
Go ahead, Mike. Pop off.
Bro, I don't disagree with you on that. They have dropped points, haven't they? I'm not saying they haven't. They have. Have you all been there to pick it up? You haven't done it. So what makes you think you're going to do it in 12 weeks when you don't have all your strikers? Saka's probably not back for another 2-3 weeks. Like, who knows? Odegaard couldn't take care of business this weekend for you guys. Like, it couldn't push you guys across the line. So what's going to make you think without Saka? I don't have any faith in y'all.
Embarrassing.
Without Saka. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I hope I'm wrong, but for 26 weeks, I think I'm convinced.
Can we talk about your loss to Villa, please, bro? Can we talk about your loss to Villa?
All right, we'll talk about it.
As they say, misery loves company, so we can go ahead
Oh, I'm sorry. You're seventh now. Mike. Oh, okay. All right. You're seventh now. All right, baby.
The difference is we didn't expect to be – like, we expected to be fighting for top four, which I can, you know, shout out to
Mike. Are you fighting?
We're clearly 3 points away, so we're clearly fighting.
Okay, we'll see how it ends.
But like I said last week, I fully expected this match to be a 1-1 draw. Like I said last week, I knew we would get a goal somewhere, somehow. This team just finds a way to score. But the issue is we don't find ways to keep the ball from going into our net. And clearly this match against Villa showed that. One, Philip Jorgensen, as much as we've been saying that you're supposed to be the guy.
You've been voted off the island.
I think it's time for me and Mike to face the music. This team is just not good enough. Top to bottom, we have deficiencies that
it's not good enough.
No, man, from top to bottom,
crazy, bro. A month.
No. And this is
Mike was making AI generated pictures.
This is the issue for me, and then I'll let Mike go.
We're not in a title race. Wow.
This is the issue for me, right? So we're up a goal, and in no world do I expect Chelsea to be able to defend a 1-0 lead for 80 minutes or 90 minutes or 70 minutes, whatever it is. But once we scored the goal, it was like the whole rest of the first half were on the back foot. There wasn't any, even with the team we have now, we aren't able to possess the ball. It seems like we only rely on counterattacks. And when we do have the ball and we are attacking, it doesn't seem like we have enough up top, you know, in order for us to put together good enough chances for us to score. The Neto chance that happened in the first half was great, but we didn't compound on that. We didn't add to that. Cole Palmer didn't really have any chances in the rest of the half. Cole Palmer was kind of non-existent for the second half. Again, like I've been saying for the past few weeks, these good teams can figure out how to put two players on him and say for the rest of the team, you guys have to go figure it out.
Hold on. He had a terrible showing. I just want to say that. And not just more so of his play. I just didn't like the outbursts. I didn't like all that. Like, you're completely mishitting. Yeah, you're completely miss. I remember, I forgot which way you guys were going this way. It's like you're completely mishitting with this pass. Yeah, with a dominant foot, it goes out for a goal kick, and then you're yelling at him, making a big deal, and it's like, oh man. Sometimes, you know, when it's bad, it gets ugly.
And
I don't like that.
And what I want to see, because this year is a wash for me. I mean, like again, top four was the goal. At the beginning of the year, I said we'd probably finish fifth. I think it'd be hard pressed if we finished fifth this year, the way the league is shaken up. Realistically, the way the league is shaken up, we would be fortunate to land somewhere in European football. And the only reason I would say we would even land in European football is because we're probably going to win the Conference League, which will give us that automatic Europa. But be not even talking about that, just focusing on the English Premier League. Maresca said he was going to switch it up, you know, and me and Mike were very confident about the lineup. It looked good. But on the pitch, what is evident is we don't have any leadership. And the leadership where it should come from is the captain, Reece James, but he hasn't been on the pitch enough for, I think, guys to respect him. I honestly think that's what it is. You know, with Reece being how good he used to be, there are remnants still there, but he's still not the same guy. He's not able to deliver what he was able to do in 2021 during the Champions League season. And so I don't think he has the same respect of the guys on the pitch. And so when we go down 2-1 and we need to look at someone to rally the troops, there's no one really out there. You got a Cole Palmer who's not in form. I said that in the group chat. This guy's not in form. He's not playing well. Who does he look to pick him up? There's no one really on the pitch that can be the voice of reason that, hey, guys, let's go. Hey, guys, we're up 1-0. Let's finish out this half strong. Hey, guys, we're still up 1-0.
Where's Enzo, the captain?
He don't speak enough English, bro.
He's
not. All banter aside, what I really want to see with this team is next year we need to go get a little bit of age. We need to go get veterans. Because this team is only this team is going to be as good as its leadership. And right now, we don't have any leadership outside of Enzo Maresca. On the pitch, there's no real leadership, bro. So for the first half of the season, when everything was good and we didn't have any injuries and we were all running and everyone was 100%, yeah, we could be top four. We could look great. But ultimately, it gets cold outside. Players start getting injured. They start getting sick. Things start happening. When it's just week 20, 25. Now we're in week 26. We don't have our full 11. We lost some players over the January transfer window. And now this is the team we have to go fight the second half of the season. Everyone's a little beat up. Everyone's a little tired. Everyone's not able to give 100%. And when we need someone to pick us up, there's no veteran on the pitch that's able to get through to these guys. And that's the biggest issue to me. I'm seeing that there's no leadership. The play is going to be the play. Players are going to be good or bad or ugly, whatever. But there's no one really to rally us up. And it's going to get a lot worse, I think. You know, this Villa game just showed that we can hang, but we can't play with the big boys. We can't finish games. We can't pick ourselves back up. And if we're going to be able to – if we want to be a top four team, there are certain attributes that you just got to get used to. And I just don't think we have it right now. It's tough because 6-8 weeks ago, I still believe we could be a top four team. Right now, it doesn't look like we can be.
You know, I agree with majority of what Cornelius said, but I'm a little bit more optimistic because the top four gap is not that
optimism.
You're optimistic.
No, the top four gap is 2 points. Like, it's not 11. I'm sorry, it's not 11. If it was even, let's say, 7 points, I would have my doubts. It's only 2 points. All these top four teams will be playing each other. I still think there's a chance. But our run of games coming up is favorable, you know, for us to at least pick up points the next few games. So I think we will be in a position to, you know, at least challenge for top four. Arsenal, on the other hand, they're not winning the league, so we can drop the gimmick. Anyways, I think that window, the transfer window we had in January, weakened us, to be honest. Because now we've had some injuries and we don't really have proper replacements. To be honest, my takeaway from this last game is Nkunku. Bro, the brother does not want to be there. I think if we want to sell him this summer. Because everything was just lackluster, just lethargic, just weak, lazy, just walking around. He just doesn't want to be there. And I understand him, you know, for a guy that, you know, was brought in to be like the next guy for us, didn't end up happening. Injuries, Cole Palmer took over, Maresca, all of that. But I still think we have a good chance. But to be honest, it's looking very slim. But I think our schedule coming up before we go see Arsenal is favorable. So we can build up some momentum. Newcastle has to play Liverpool, which I think could slow them down there. Right now, it's City and Forest that I'm really worried about. I'm really looking at. Because I think Forest can drop. Forest I've been getting humbled, you know, in recent times. So I think that's where our way in is. Hopefully, Forest can drop. Newcastle can drop as well. And Bournemouth. These are the three teams, to be honest, I think we're really competing with. These are the three teams we need to watch out for top four. And I like our chances against them. It might be slim, but I like our chances against them. Unlike Arsenal.
Yeah, you guys need a whole new back four, man. That's just, it's so crazy. Like a back five, too. You know,
I mean, Fofana's out with injury. He's back. You know, Badiashile's back working out, but... Yeah. These names don't move me, man. These names just don't move anybody.
And this is what I was saying to Mike over you know, the weekend. When you look at what our management's been doing, Renato Vega, you know, since he left Chelsea, Juve had gone 3 of 3 wins with him at center back. We didn't place him at center back at any of the time he was at Chelsea. Yeah, not for crazy. The Prem, not for Carabao, not for FA Cup, not for Conference League. We put him at left back, we put him at left mid, we put him at center mid, but not at his preferred position where he is currently at Juve thriving. And for me, it's gotten to the point where I now have to look at everyone saying, what is the organization doing? Are we even trying to win games? Because at first it was, okay, let's just go buy a whole bunch of young players, throw something at the wall, something will stick. We're finding that a lot of those players didn't stick, and we got a lot of them out, and we kept some of them. But then now the ones we kept, we're not putting them in the right positions to win. We're keeping a Mudryk, who we put a lot of faith in, but he's doping, and now he's banned from playing, and now we can't even use him as a player. We go sell Joao Felix, or we let Joao Felix go in a time where we don't have any attackers. We know Wii U is hurt. When we know Nico Jackson is hurt. So now we have to rest on Nkunku being the sole guy up there with no help. After he's been shunned for half of the year, and now he has to be the guy to hopefully lead us to greener pastures. And so for me, it's like this whole year we had such an abundance of players on our team, and we didn't think of trying out any new things until we shipped half of them away. And now we have such a point in time where it's crucial for us to get everything right, and we can't. And now our star player Cole Palmer is not playing at his best, and now we aren't finding the success we found at the earlier the year. Now we're having injuries. These goals, like I said last week, are going to be few and far in between. And right now, yeah, I'm looking at Bournemouth, I'm looking at Fulham, I'm looking at Liverpool, or not Liverpool, I'm looking at Newcastle. I'm looking at, yeah, these teams are right around us, but they have goal scorers. They can go and win games. I'm looking at even Bournemouth with this loss this past weekend. They are better than us. Right now, they have a better team than us. Maybe not player by player, but when you look at their team, I don't want to go see these. So, yeah, we might have favorable lineups, but where are these goals coming from? And these other teams, we just have to expect them to not be fighting. These teams in fifth through eighth place are fighting just as hard as we are, because they understand the league is for the taking right now. They're looking at someone like Forrest, who's even, you know, kind of slipping right now, saying, yo, Forrest might not even be top four with 12 matches left. So for me, it's just, yeah, we're in a great position, being that we're still not too far off the top four, but there's not a lot for me to be positive about moving forward, to be honest, at least in the league. I don't really see how we can move forward with what we're doing right now, but that's just me. You know, I hopefully I can share some of the optimism with you after we this weekend. Hopefully,
no.
We have to start winning games. We have to start winning games.
I think if we get through this schedule this week successfully, and with the guys, some of the guys we have coming back. If we can just get in a good rhythm of winning games, I think we should be able to, you know, end the season on a high note.
It sounds good in theory, man. It sounds good in theory. It's just tough when I know that
we're not far off.
This team is very young, and this team isn't used to going the distance. Last year, we luckily got sixth place, and I honestly think it was off the aura.
Should have gotten top four.
It was off the aura of Cole Palmer. And Pochettino actually being a manager who was used to fighting and going the distance. As much as we like to make fun of Pochettino, them Tottenham years, he was going the distance.
He's good here. At
PSG, he was going the distance. He learned to play a full season. Maresca, I know that, you know, he was at Leicester and all that, but this is his first time in the top flight by himself. Does he know how to get his team to go the distance? I mean, I guess we got 12 more matches to figure that out. So yeah, you know, and then to close things out with a team who is going further and further down the Premier League table, it seems like they want to go to distance. Golly, Manchester United started to turn things around with a 2-2 draw. I don't know what to say about United, honestly. It's, you guys aren't going to get relegated, but it's just not fun to watch y'all no more. At least you guys were able to fight back. You know, you guys were down 2-0. We're able to get the 2-2 draw, which I honestly thought was a feat in itself. I mean, Salam, with 12 matches left, what are you looking forward to the rest of the season?
The summer, honestly. That's what I'm looking forward to, the summer. Season being over. You know, like you said, I don't think that we're going to get relegated. I think for me, the biggest things is, you know, how do we handle ourselves in these cup competitions? And I think today was a prime example of how, you know, we can play very poorly, or, you know, and make mistakes and still have moments of individual brilliance to bail us out. So I felt like that really embodies who we are as a team at the moment. Inconsistent, but, you know, we still have guys that can make things happen. Bruno Fernandes was missing the first, I would say, hour of the game, and then he scored the goal, looked a little bit more lively. But for me, man, I don't know. What can I say? On the first goal, we had three or four opportunities to clear the ball. We didn't. We get punished. On the second goal, Maguire just continues to show why he can't play in this team. He's too slow. To not only does he get split by the through pass, but he can't even move his body, turn his body around to retrieve, to defend against the cross that's coming in. So, yeah, man. At this point, it's really, for me, this is crazy to say, but for me, it's more so of, we seem to be looking worse and worse week to week. So now I'm worried about, you know, the players' kind of, I guess, mindset going into the rest of the season. Because, you know, Ineos has shown that, you know, they can make a decision like bringing in someone like Dan Rashford. Or Dan Ashford, Ashworth.
Ashworth.
Right. Yeah, Dan Ashworth. And they can, you know, move in another direction and get rid of him if they're not, you know, liking what they're seeing. So hopefully we as a team can play a little bit better, just because, you know, I still think that we have a lot to play for this season. It's just a matter of, you know, how do we find that consistency and rhythm and, you know, good balance. But I thought that we looked better when Casemiro came off. I thought that we looked better when Maguire came off. I thought Chido Obi-Martin did more in 15 minutes than Rasmus Højlund has done all season. So, to be very honest with you, I just feel like we're in a place where we won't get relegated. Just play the young kids. Let's see what we have. Let's develop. Let's get them in positions where they see actual first-team football. Once we've secured a spot that we're not going to get relegated. But, yeah, man, we just have to go for Europa, man. These Premier League games, I don't know. I don't get nothing from watching these Premier League games. It's the club shown their ambition by not buying anybody in January. So that's kind of where I'm at in the league. It's just a matter of, can we win Champions League to get more money? Or I'm sorry, Europa League, so that we can get the Champions League, so that we can get more money.
Are you guys still in the FA Cup?
Yeah.
The cup competitions could be your bread and butter. Eh?
That's the thing. But this, like, I don't know, bro. It's just like winning an FA Cup this year would kind of just be like, I don't know. We don't really get like anything from, like, yes, it's another trophy. But it's like, for where we are right now, it's like, does it really matter?
Arsenal fans would love
it. Just this year.
No, but you didn't let me finish. The answer to that question is unfortunately yes. I'll have to take it. So, you know, I'm going to take my trophy as I always do. And I'll see you in the summer. But yeah, man. Let's get into locks of the week, man. How do we do, Gabriel?
Absolutely trash.
Trash. 1-3. Yours is the only one that hit.
Cornelius, yours? I was like, damn, they hit. Brentford scored 4. Shit.
Bro, I'm looking at Leicester like, y'all couldn't even defend at the 90th minute, fam. Like,
yeah.
I did under 3.5. The last goal came in the 89th. I'm like,
that's a bad beat. Yeah. That's a bad beat.
Terrible beat.
We caught the end of that game.
I'm looking at the goal, like, bro.
They forced that goal in. Like,
yeah. He said Cornelius picked us.
That's
crazy.
Do nothing about it, bro.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Liverpool. Yeah, man. But yeah, let's get into predictions and shout outs, man. Who do y'all see?
Nottingham Forest midweek.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Spicy, spicy, spicy. Where's the game at?
Nottingham Forest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't draw points. You know, hey. That's all I'm saying. Don't draw points. This is part of the 12 week, right, Gabriel? This is part of the 12 week. I'm just saying.
Hey.
Yeah, we see Southampton on Tuesday
at the bridge, man. That should be like a 5-0 smacking. Like,
I'm not even gonna say all that. Just get the 3 points, bro.
GRG, man. I'm calling the bridge. GRG. I'm calling GRG, man.
Just give Versus
Southampton.
Oh yeah. Aaron Ramsdale is gonna have the game of his life. Watch. He's gonna be focused that game. He's gonna be focused. It's a trap. Yeah, hey, they're gonna drop points. You're gonna be out of the top four race.
You think Southampton's gonna come to the bridge and beat us? Come on, man. Come on.
This just sounds like it should be a clip, you know? It just sounds like it should be a clip.
Y'all crazy.
Southampton? He said trap. You're crazy. No way.
Even we beat Southampton. Y'all, you know? Yeah. But
my stomach. Oh, what did he say? Just donate your 3 points.
Donate your three.
Yeah, Wednesday we see Ipswich at home. Mm. So shit. Hey, I mean, these are technically, yeah, these are our neighbors, you know. Well, they're closer to us than yeah, that's crazy, bro. Everton is on top of us. That's wild. But yeah, well, we're really not gonna finish in the top 10 this year. Yeah, man, I think that we'll beat Ipswich at home. Or no, I really have no, I think we may lose. This would be a great week. Because Mike tried to, I wanted to bring that up, by the way. Mike wanted to encourage all of you guys that are still listening to the end of the show to pick Everton money line. I think, Gabriel, what's worse, Mike encouraging our listeners to gamble on Everton or Cornelius's proclamation that Everton was going to win the league? Why is Everton? Yeah.
Proclamation.
Cornelius is taking forever.
Yeah.
It's an all timer, man.
That's an all time.
All time holler, bro.
Yeah. No, but anyway, yeah. Ipswich, I think, will lose. And then we have Fulham actually on Sunday in the FA Cup. That game, I think we win. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yo, in the Cups, it's different. It's different. No, I want to see Chido start, though. And shout out to Yasser, because Yasser said that he wouldn't see Chido Obi Martin. Well, looks like we've seen him twice. So, yeah. Shout outs, man. Who are your guys' shout outs?
None. Pissed.
Oh, man. My goodness.
Shout out the Cleveland Crunch.
Yeah, shout out to my Columbus. Yeah, shout out always, man.
Yeah, we didn't get our.
How did you guys do this weekend?
Yeah, you guys do.
Oh, yeah, we won. We beat a Michigan team like 15-3 or something like that. So
yeah, the scores be crazy, man. I'm like,
man. No, when they catch some of these teams, man.
Yeah. I know.
You guys be nice, man.
Nah, man, forget all that. But yeah, we got a nice little dub today. Our owner texted me, told me I'm the assist leader in the league right now, which is pretty cool. So
there you go, shout out,
congrats to you, man. Keep
AFT. We need a round of applause. Sound.
Yeah, no, I think I got a sound.
We need at least some clap. You
know what I mean? Hey, we got assist leader on the pod, man.
Nah, I got this.
My play.
We still got some matches to go, you know. So, but hopefully we can keep it up and
Wow. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this.
You said I had the sound.
Shout out to you, bro. Shout out to you. League the leader in assists. Yeah, man, you guys be beating up teams so bad they be just turning off the score. You know, they don't update the score anymore. They just leave the score as. No, I'm just playing. They change it. You guys are professional. You guys change it. It's just, it'd be wild. Shout out to y'all, man. My shout out, the whole Major League Soccer. Shout out to you guys, all of you guys. Definitely tune in. And I was going to shout out Nico, what's his name? Nico Williams. Athletic Club. They won 7-1 today. He had two goals and an assist. His brother, Inaki, had a goal and an assist. So the Williams brothers were balling. That's crazy. They accounted for 5 of the 7 goals, you know. So shout out to them. Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to my Columbus crew, man. Big win to start off the season. So hopefully it continues this year.
Yeah.
Do you like their kits? Sorry.
Yeah, it kind of, when it got released, I thought it was weak, but I kind of like them. I kind of like it.
Mike, no, you can't say that, Mike. You can't say that.
I'm giving them credit. My initial reaction, I was like, I don't know if I like this, but for me,
I agree with you, bro. I thought it was kind of weak. I do like the glow in the dark aspect. And honestly, when you see them on TV, they look cool. Like when they're not like close up, they actually look better than initially than what I thought.
Now is inspired by the R.L. Stein.
Yeah, he's from he's an Ohio guy, which I didn't know. Yeah.
Until shout out to him. Cool, man. Well, yeah, good episode, guys. MLS is back, Premier League is back, you know, and obviously, you know, Champions League and Europa League and Conference League is about to be heating up. So have a lot coming at you guys.
Who did you guys get matched up with? I know we got Copenhagen, but
we got you guys get okay, Copenhagen. Europa. I've heard of them. we got Real Sociedad. So
ooh, spicy.
Yeah.
Eindhoven in the Champions League. So well, and honestly, if we beat Eindhoven and PSV Eindhoven.
Oh, okay.
And if we beat PSV, we end up seeing Madrid.
So, one of the Madrid teams.
I was gonna say this, man. Funny. I feel like you got. I mean, obviously, still go for the league, but like, I don't know, man. Champions League.
Might be
when is Saka coming back?
I mean, they're saying March, but I'm not believing it, bro. I truly think he'll come back end of March, or I think he'll come back after international break, which is April. Beginning of April. I think he'll come back after international break. I don't want to rush him back before that. Especially for there's no point. Yeah, there's no point. Like, I'd rather try and put more stake in the Champions League than the league, if the league's going to be dead or if Liverpool run away with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So I'd rather. I personally hope he doesn't come back until after the international break. But they're saying March. They're saying he's in training a little bit. So we'll see.
All right. Well, yeah, get well soon. Get well soon. But yeah, appreciate everybody for tuning in. And as always, good luck to you and your.